Staying Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Rita Steele.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I'm good as well, even though I probably could have hitchhiked on the back of John's good. I'm individually also good.
No, that's good. Three rounds of goodness.
Let's make it great. We're all great
together.
Yeah,
why not?
I think we're upgrade.
Now, Rita Steele, we're going back to revisit the behemoth that is climate change, which sort of has fallen by the wayside with COVID-19 kind of taking control of the media.
Yeah, and it just keeps coming up as well. It's sort of one of those things that is just, we don't want it to just go away, that it just won't, unfortunately. And the government has just released a report that brings together sort of all the risk around climate change. So we talk about it lots, and we all know that there's going to be flooding and more extreme storms and heat waves and less snow and all that kind of stuff. But this report really looks at, what it actually does to our society, and what our society might look like, and what we need to start thinking about risk managing and adapting to survive in this new climate. The idea behind this report is that it then feeds into creating a national adaptation plan over the next 2 years. So that's what the government will take away from this and then build on something that's actually actionable, which is good. I mean, it's a little bit depressing because I guess having an adaptation plan means that we're not going to meet our carbon emissions goal as a globe, but I guess we need to have a plan because there's a lot of countries that aren't doing anything.
It feels like we're kind of at the mercy of all the other developed nations out there because, I mean, we're so small, we're not really going to have much of an impact on global climate change.
No, you're right. We are little, but we do have a big voice, and countries especially now are looking to us for leadership because we seem to be really, really good at leading the way in this kind of stuff. The other thing that's probably worth noting is we use twice as much and three times as much if you include our farming. Greenhouse gas emissions as we are entitled to, if that makes sense. So if we were to allocate greenhouse emissions as per the population, then we will need to scale back significantly because, you know, so if you looked at it like that, then we're actually doing a really terrible job of curbing our emissions because I think it's important to look at it like that because it's really easy. You know, we could have a country like India who, are below their, well and truly per capita below where we are at. And we can go, oh, but look at them. And it's like, well, they'll always be above us because there's so many of them. Mm. So I think it's important to look at it on a per capita basis.
Now, this report recently released report says there's 10 risks that require urgent action in the next 6 years. Do you want to run us through those, Rita?
So what they've done really is they've put them into five key areas, and then they've kind of drawn out basically two from each. So the natural environment, they've said, this domain is a major, is probably the most important one for risk. So sort of how it works, I'll just take a step back before we do that, because what they've done is there's sort of 43 risks that they've then got extrapolated. So they've kind of used this thing called cascading impacts, which is a really good term, I think. And they've gone, there's a primary effect of something, and then there's like a dynamic sequence of secondary hazards. So what that means is it's like, okay, cool, we might get a flood, and we have had floods before and we've dealt with them, and we've had droughts before and we've dealt with them. But what we're going to see more of is a drought that goes on for a long, long, long time, and it's, say, means that we can't irrigate land, we can't grow in that area anymore, farmers are out of work, the town starts dying because no one's got jobs. And then not long after, and then whilst we're in flood, there happens to be a huge after we're in drought, there's a huge flood, for example, and then it takes out some of the infrastructure of that town, means that there's no potable water for them to drink. So a town that's already under stress economically, socially, and then all of a sudden, you know, the infrastructure's wiped out as well. So that's the kind of thing that they've looked at. So these kind of complicated scenarios that are likely to happen. Now, I'm going to be honest, I haven't read the full report. It's 133 pages plus another technical report.
John, did you get ministers? I did send it over to John. He said he was going to over the weekend. You didn't
get a chance
through
to?
Okay.
Just
any good?
Chewed through it.
Any
pictures?
Do
they have any pictures in there? Any cool graphs or anything?
It does. It does have some pictures.
Okay. Well.
And you know, I always see these science pictures, and there's like little like cartoon cows, and I'm like, you know, it still feels like a fourth of a book. but the rest of the 100, of, you know, almost 200 odd pages aren't. So the graphs are few and far between. But it all makes sense. I guess it's just, you know, running through those scenarios, extrapolating them is actually quite, you know, quite a hard thing to do. But there's things that, you know, things like we, you know, a lot of towns rely on snow melts and that kind of thing for water, and then what if that runs out, and then on top of that something else happens. So it's looking at those sorts of things combined, what that would do. And then so what they did is they kind of lumped them into five different groups. So, you know, when something happens, primary, you know, impact, and then a secondary impact happens, what does it then do to these five key areas and the areas of natural environment? And this is sort of the biggest one, which we've talked about lots and lots and lots. Major consequences if our ecosystems aren't functioning healthily.
The other interesting thing is how long, for the first one, you know, your first major issue that you're calling a drought in this instance, how long until it's just the norm and you don't call it a major issue? You just go, okay, this is life now, and then you sort of...
Yeah, well, that's kind of...
Like a reset
that's kind
of sorts.
What I guess they're saying, you right. know, like we do need to be in a place by 2100 or even 2050 where this is normal life for us. And
yeah.
so they're kind of going, okay, so I guess the idea with this report is that then we then create this adaptation plan that goes, okay, cool, well... It really doesn't make sense to keep pumping money into an area like the outskirts of Christchurch for farming, because it's already experiencing drought, and it's already then getting summer. It's got this high risk of then having big downpours. So, you know, that's an area that maybe we should be looking at, you know, propping up with tech jobs or something like that, you know, because those farming jobs are just not going to be there in 30 years.
This is totally irrelevant, but I was thinking about reports and stuff. What might make official reports a little bit more fun is maybe introducing a sort of scratch and sniff element. So you just have
a scratch and sniff.
Do you remember those stickers that you used to be able to get? Imagine if official documents had the old scratch and sniff situation in there. Like little
what
grass.
What disaster does this smell like?
Yeah, a little bit of grass or mud. Smell that. Just connect. Like, get, you know, get the suits... Get them connect with what's going on outside the glass windows. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I think these guys would probably really appreciate something
helpful.
Like that.
You can
sure
put it forward, I'm sure.
I'm putting it forward. I've got a radio show. Look, Rita was in the middle of an important speech, and I just came in with my dumb idea. So I'm putting it forward. Don't worry about that.
Well, let's see. You never know. You might get a technical writer going, yeah, that might make things a bit more interesting than being stuck in a room writing reports. So the natural environment's that really big one for us. We know that the ecosystem, if our ecosystems aren't functioning, then everything becomes really expensive. And I hear people saying this all the time, like, why is food so expensive now? And why is this so expensive? It's like,
yeah.
Because for a long time, we've been getting these free services from bees. Like, at a bare minimum, that's the most obvious ecosystem service that we have been getting for free for millennia. And now... they're collapsing, and so people are pollinating things, and it's really expensive. So there's an ecosystem service that's no longer functioning as it's supposed to. And if they're not hand pollinating, there's people moving bees around, like physically. They've never had to do that before, so there's a new cost that's involved.
Do we hand pollinate in New Zealand? Does that go on?
There's some hand pollinating. Most of it is moving the bees around.
Would it be more glasshouse kind of shit? What do they do in those situations? Do they just have a bunch of bees in the glasshouse and they cruise around?
I have only ever seen them actually doing the hand pollinating. I don't know how they actually go about getting the... I think they actually just get the pollen from one thing and physically move it over to the other. I don't think there's a bee involved.
Motherfucker.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not okay, actually. I'm not okay with that at all, but carry on.
No, okay. So the bee's job is to just move pollen around. So instead they're doing it, people are doing it. And it's really only on those really, really high-value crops. That it makes sense to do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then, and that's one thing, maybe we look to shift our crops to ones that self-pollinate and things like that. Or look at developing crops that can self-pollinate. So things like that. So that's kind of, I guess, what the point of this adaptation plan is that we look at these areas and we start making plans for what happens when these ecosystems collapse. It's for me as an environmental scientist, it's probably the most dire thing ever. Like the idea that we just go, oh, that ecosystem's going to collapse, so we better come up with something we can fix ourselves, is really sad. It's like the WALL-E movie.
Obviously, farming the moon is a high on the agenda.
Yeah, that's
or
like
maybe
that
a
bad.
Massive cylinder in space that has farms on it that just cruises around and creates its own gravity through G-forces, obviously.
Anyway, it's sad as fuck, basically.
It is. Do you know what? I've just noticed that the moon is really massive, so that's probably what's making me say all these crazy things right now. Chalk that one.
My mum told me I think it's like a full moon in Aquarius.
Oh shit. Oh well Rita, we do appreciate you telling us the what for.
No worries. I know it's slightly boring. There was a couple of positives that came out of it, by the way. They
scratch
said
and
that
sniffs in reports. Fuck yeah, that's a good idea.
They said that our heating bills will be slightly lower and we'll be able to grow some tropical fruit. So yay.
Can we get a decent kind of bat collection up here? Like, I feel like, isn't the South Island the only place with good bats?
A bat collection?
Get some good bats.
There's bats all over Auckland. Get out there more, Ken.
I don't see them around, eh? It's not like when you go to, like, Melbourne and it's just, like, bat hordes.
Those are gnarly little guys, aren't they? Don't they, like, bite you and give you COVID and stuff?
Not me. I don't get out there much.
I went to Bali. They were quite scary over there. But there's lots of bats in Auckland, and the Waitakere's and the Hanuas.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll have a look around then.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, you guys have a good week.
Thanks, mate.
See ya. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.